and welcome to the program. Today we're in John chapter 6. We're going to look at the multitude, the mountain, the men, and the meal. Have your Bible ready. Reading in John chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, "After these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased." What did Jesus do? Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And so we see in the next few verses there was a multitude of people coming to the Passover, probably about 25,000 people coming down the trail. What are we going to do with them? We'll look at it in a minute, but before we do, listen to this message in song, "The Bible Stands."
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Yes, the Bible stands.
Well, we see here in John chapter 6 that the multitudes are following Jesus because they saw the miracles that he did. And as we seen in the previous program, Jesus wasn't impressed with the multitudes. Well, we read that he went up into a mountain, verse number 3, and he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. In verse 5 says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company of come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these might eat?" Now, Philip was from that area, and Philip would know where you could get enough food for these people, but absolutely an impossible answer for this question. And that's basically what Philip said. But before he said that, we read in verse 6, "This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Now, he's not proving him so that Jesus can find out where he stands. Jesus knows where he stands. What he wants is for Philip to know where he stands. You need to understand where you are. Do you trust me or not? For it says he himself knew what he would do. Jesus did. He also knew what Philip would do. Well, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. It's impossible to feed this crowd. There was another disciple there, Andrew, and it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now it says there was 5,000 men, if you add the women and children, there was probably 25,000 people in this crowd that's coming across the field. Well, verse number 10, we read that Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in that place, so the men sat down in a number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, all of them, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be left. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Well, what are the response of the people? We see in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now, I wish the next verse said, we should listen to him and get our hearts right and do that which would glorify God. They weren't interested in glorifying God. They were interested in what they could get out of it. And we read in verse number 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Yeah, we don't want this prophet. Give us a king. Well, we see the next thing that happens is a storm, and Jesus this time is up in the mountain. The last time we saw the disciples in a storm in the ship, Jesus was with them. Not this time. He's on the mountain, and they're alone in the boat. And we read in verse number 16, and when even was now come, the disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Well, it says the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Let me ask you a question. Who's in charge of the wind? God is. The Bible's very plain about that in the book of Psalms. So there's a storm that they needed to go through. You don't learn how to sail a ship on calm waters, and they needed to learn, as do we when we go through the storms of life. Well, we read in verse 19, so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were sore afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received them into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Well, the focus goes back on the multitude. It says the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one unto where unto his disciples were entered, and Jesus went not with his disciples in the boat, but the disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat the bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Now, Capernaum was not a very big place, but it's about to be overcrowded with this crowd. Well, the first question they have in verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? How did you get over here? We know about the boat, and you weren't in it. Well, Jesus just avoided that question and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Yeah, it's all about me. That's their attitude. Well, let's make him a king. They can kick out the Romans and we'll have a better life. Or maybe he can keep us from going grocery shopping anymore if he can give us his bread. All about me. That's the way the world is. A lot of Christians that way too. Anyway, in verse 27, labor not, Jesus says, for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Well, they asked the second question, that is in verse 28. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, down through this next portion of the scripture, he makes it very plain what they need to do, but they didn't like what they heard. It says in verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? No, he's not the son of Joseph. He's virgin-born son of God. They're not accepting that at all. And so they murmured, and Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Well, they didn't know that Jesus would know they were murmuring. Yeah, he knows when we murmur too. Well, these things said he, it says in verse 59, in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. And many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Well, his disciples, and this is not just referring to the 12, we'll get to that in a minute, but others who were considered his disciples, it says they murmured at it and said, and he said unto them, does this offend you? In verse number 64, he says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Well, we read then in verse number 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Oh, they like the miracles. They'd like to make him king. They'd like to have all this physical stuff. But the spiritual, no, they murmured at that, as do many today. And even as I've said many times in our so-called fundamental circles, you can preach a nice, politically correct social gospel in our fundamental churches these days. Just don't get in on any of the issues. Don't talk about standards of music or standards of dress. Don't tell me how I want to live or I won't follow you anymore. Jesus said, there's some of you that believe not. Well, from this time, it says in verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Not only that, you'll read in the next chapter, they were figuring out how they could put him to death. Well, in verse number 67, the disciples, the 12, it says, then say Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Well, Peter, who is always talking when he should have been listening, spoke up, and it says here, Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Well, that's good. That's a good statement, Peter. You understand that. But there's something he doesn't understand, verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Now, how did Jesus answer that? Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? That's an interesting answer. Why did he answer that way? Because Peter was doing exactly what Nicodemus was doing. Nicodemus came out from the Pharisees and said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He was representing the group. Well, Peter speaks up to represent the group, and Jesus said, now, wait a minute, Peter, don't be answering for the group. You answer for yourself. You don't answer for the group. When we stand before the Lord, we're not going to answer for our church. We're going to answer as individuals. And so Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away. Just keep trusting your Lord as you walk along. Just keep on trusting your Lord and He'll give a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, keep right on trusting your Lord. He will never fail. A faithful friend, such a faithful friend. You can count on him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, just keep on trusting your Lord. He will.